girl, baby.
Well, Marty Maiorato made his winter pilgrimage to the North Alaskan wilderness.
In the back of my mind is always leaving the family behind. I may be gone for a long time.
Eustace Conway clashed with Justin McGuire.
It was very challenging working with unskilled labor.
Oh, no, it's digging into my shoulder.
Desperate for food, Tom Orr pushed his hunt late into the night.
Grizzly bears are really moving this time of year. They're more aggressive, you know, they're killing what's out there.
Winter has hit Montana's Yaak Valley early, and Tom's been struggling to catch up. He needs to store enough food for the seven-month season, but so far, he's been shut out. His wife, Nancy, doesn't like it when her husband is out hunting after dark.
It's not a good feeling when it's dark, he's not home, and you're wondering all the things that can go through a girl's mind. What's going on? Where is he? Is he all right? He can't be hunting. It's too dark for that. And you think, you know, what's going on? Why isn't he home?
Since 1975, the grizzly population in the lower 48 states has more than tripled, making human encounters more common.
I hope Tom's okay.
We're home.
Hey! Any luck?
Seen one deer.
This means Tom must head back out tomorrow or risk starting winter with no food.
Tom has always been a man that's chosen his way of living. He's like a tomcat that's got nine lives.
You've got to be some sort of a survivor even just to live up here. The challenge is living. That's what the challenges are.
2,500 miles southeast, Eustace Conway is getting an early start on his day. Living off the land is never easy. And with eight mouths to feed, Eustace needs help. When Justin McGuire came to Turtle Island 3 months ago, he was hoping to learn how to survive off the land. But like many students, he's clashed with his teacher.
So basically, I just needed to refuel all the saws. We've been using them. We needed to do a little maintenance. And first thing is just refuel them all. So bar roll first, mix second, and grease the tip on all of them.
Eustace Conway doesn't need anything but nature to live. I guess at times he uses things just out of convenience, but he doesn't need any of it.
The chainsaw is one of the most important tools in our toolkit. We use them in so many ways for helping process firewood to get some cash flow. They cut the trees to length for our sawmill so we can make boards, so we can make buildings. It's just an amazing, revolutionary tool.
But the chainsaws need constant maintenance.
Let's check and see how sharp it is. Because if it's sharp enough, I can tell just by looking at it, the chain's too loose. Can you see that? Don't even have to feel it. So let's change that. Yeah, we got to change that, tighten that up.
I'm going to let you handle that one.
Despite their recent differences, Eustace is determined to make things work.
It's very challenging working with unskilled labor.
And the strong winds coming from the south mean there's a cold front rolling in. Eustace expects it will mean more rain, so he heads to check out the barn he uses to store wood.
I always like to keep an eye out for anything that needs to be done, fixed up, picked up. Sometimes the wind will blow something down.
It is dripping in, rotting this wood. I'm going to make some shingles. We've got to fix this problem.
Firewood provides not only heat, but it's also Eustace's sole source of income.
I'm glad I'm seeing it's leaking today. I'm going to have to do something about it. I'm going to make some more shingles and fix this roof because I don't want the building to rot.
to fix the barn's roof, Eustace needs his tools. What he finds at the shed surprises him.
I gotta get these chainsaws in. I gotta take care of my tools. This is very important. I mean, look at that. There's water all over that thing.
Chainsaws and rain aren't a good combination.
It bothers me that people leave stuff out like that. Justin doesn't listen to me. He doesn't follow directions. He made some serious mistakes. Chainsaws, they rust.
While Eustace struggles to provide, 4,300 miles away in the rugged Alaskan wilderness, Marty Maiorato has begun his isolated winter in the northern Alaskan range.
Where I go, nothing has changed there for eons. There's huge tracts of wilderness with no one in it. I certainly think when I get there, I'm stepping into someplace I belong. And I have this, it's almost a curse, this passion to be in these wild places.
Marty is still preparing his cabin for the season. His next job, setting up a consistent water source. But before he heads out, he needs to fuel up.
Every morning, hotcakes. Well, it varies. Sometimes I have pancakes, sometimes I have flapjacks, sometimes I have hotcakes, Johnny cakes. All kinds of different stuff. A little sausages this morning. A little extra fuel.
With the temperature hovering at 20 below, Marty must eat more than 6,000 calories or risk losing weight and becoming more susceptible to hypothermia.
Like at 10 to 15 below, I put on all my cold weather gear. So the first thing I put on is bunny boots. Then I wear like a polar fleece sweater with a zip-up collar. Protect that so the wind doesn't get down your neck, because just the tiniest little spot will freeze you. And then I wear a hat that's going to cover your ears, because it'll freeze right off your head in a hurry. And then the final thing I wear is my parka. When you leave, there's not a bunch of places you can duck into to get warm. As a matter of fact, there's no places. Cold kill.
Marty's cabin is his only sliver of safety out here. But staying in the cabin won't get him the water he needs to survive in the bush.
Yeah, eventually when you're running these machines, sooner or later, if something's supposed to move, that means that it's going to wear out.
The snowmobile allows Marty to cover ground quickly. And more importantly, it allows him to move heavy items like water.
The farther you get away, the more that looms big in my mind. It can get you far enough out there to where a walk back, if you aren't dressed properly, could be dire. There's a lot of challenges. Steep hills, steep creeks, tussock patches. It's a lot of work.
Marty gets his fresh water from the Squirrel River.
Traveling rivers, they seem like a big highway, but generally don't like to travel the river.
Marty and his snowmobile weigh a combined 635 pounds, so he must find an area of the river where the ice is at least 8 inches thick or risk losing his most crucial tool.
You're by yourself, and the reality is there isn't anybody going to come and help you. Time to be careful. This is the real deal.
Marty must get two large buckets of water from the river every other day.
Well, I'm gonna go kind of the daily chores, getting water. This time of year, early in the year, you gotta be careful not to break through the ice. And I can hear it here. Ice seems thin right here. You can kind of hear the hollow sound. But I know the ice isn't very thick. You can find thin spots like this. You always have to be careful, even in the middle of winter. If you go through the ice, if you get wet in the wintertime, you're gonna be in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. The 1 mile trip takes 20 minutes. On foot, carrying the water, it would take an hour. On his way back, Marty notices a problem with his snowmobile.
All right, I gotta put a track in this machine. Just simple. Piece of cake. Well, I've got to take the main axle out, pull that out, and then I got to pull the whole suspension off, and then just take off the old track and put the new track on. It's like pulling a bad tooth. Out with the bad and in with the good.
When he flipped the machine over to work on the track, Marty wasn't careful.
It smells like gas a lot in here.
The cracked tank could be dangerous.
Gas is leaking out, yeah. You've got a wood stove going, and gas is, everybody knows, pretty volatile. You've got to consciously think worst-case scenario all the time because the fumes will get dense enough to where they'll ignite.
Coming up, Tom and Will try to stay one step ahead of the Grizzlies.
Oh, wow.
Is that some new tracks?
This is Grizzlies.
My man, we better watch our back.
You never know when a new bear will show up. Right, it'll get your heart beating, I'll tell you.
Deep in the Alaskan wilderness, Marty Maiorato is having problems with his most crucial piece of equipment. He must repair it or run the risk of not being able to leave his secluded cabin.
It smells like gas a lot in here. Gas is leaking out, yeah. You're by yourself, and the reality is there isn't anybody going to come and help you or find you in time for anything if something bad does happen. I was wrenching on the machine, and some gas was leaking out of the gas tank. You've got a wood stove going, and gas is pretty volatile. It gets to the point where it's going to ignite. I don't know, I've never had a fire. It doesn't mean I won't have one in the next 2 minutes.
Marty is 200 miles from civilization, and with limited daylight, a fire would mean he'd have to spend a night exposed to the elements and predators.
You're out here, and if something goes wrong, you can't get out. I'm screwed. I'm just screwed. You've got to consciously think worst-case scenario all the time because the fumes will get dense enough to where they'll ignite. So, that's done. Now I got to spin the machine around and get it out the door.
With the repairs finished, it's time for a test run.
When I am out there, out on the trap line, snow machine is essential. It's everything. All right, got my machine done and all squared away. Yeah, should be good to go.
His preparation's complete. Marty's season truly begins tomorrow. 2,500 miles away, with an empty freezer, Tom Orr is up before dawn, preparing for another day searching for food. When he gets an unexpected visit.
Hey, hi, Tim.
How's it going?
I'm doing good. Tim Lanahan, I've known him for, well, probably more than 20 years now, but we're good friends.
Scraping away?
Yeah, still after it. You know me. The things don't change much around here. You
well,
know?
Hey, I know
it's
how
the
that
time
goes.
Of year is all that changes.
I was you. Just, you know, same thing. I'm in the thick of it, and I got those beavers back.
The beavers pose a huge health risk for Tim's family.
Our water comes right out of the pond. We do have to be very careful. Giardia is nasty, nasty stuff.
Giardia is a microbacteria that results when water is contaminated by raw sewage. It can cause headaches and vomiting within 2 days after infection. Tim's concerned.
Well, I can put a couple traps in the culverts that come
yeah,
under the
okay.
road.
Great. Hey, I got to run, man. Thanks.
All right, bud.
Good to
hey,
see
thanks.
You. Okay, take care.
I'll get them beavers for you.
Tom's been trapping beavers for years.
This is a killer trap. Somebody needs something trapped here in the valley. Usually they'll come to me and ask me to do it. Come on, Ellie, let's go catch a beaver. Ellie, come. Ooh, she froze over a bunch last night, it looks like. Well, hopefully we can get this done. Yeah, really, we're tired of these suckers, I'll tell you. Oop. Beavers just keep clogging this up. What they do, they raise the water in here, and then the water runs over the banks, and it'll wash the bank out, and it'll wash the whole pond out. This will kill the beaver when he swims through it. It'll go off on his body. I know Nancy, she don't like when I use these because they are kind of dangerous. But yet they're very, very efficient traps.
Setting the traps is difficult. The force of them shutting is equal to 90 pounds per square inch. One wrong move could easily break Tom's hand.
This is kind of a messed up trap right here. Damn it. I should have checked this trap out a long time ago before he's getting all this cold weather. There's a passageway where they've been swimming up in here. This is a feed spot where they come up here and eat this willow.
We're not hurting the beaver population at all. We're just keeping them out of the ponds.
We'll get them one way or another. It might take a little while, but we'll get them. Just a waiting game now. Tomorrow morning, we'll come find out how good we did.
As Tom waits, across the country in the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina, Eustace Conway has been dealing with a series of early winter storms. And with another one rolling in, he's racing to fix a leaky roof on the barn where he stores wood.
Hey guys, I think it's about time for us to start pulling some shingles off. If you guys want to come and help with this, we need to get all the shingles off of there so we can put new shingles on. You know, they say the squeaky wheel gets the attention. Well, this is squeaking big time. The rain is running right through the roof.
Eustace makes everything at Turtle Island by hand. And by splitting a log 8 times, he's able to make perfect roof shingles. Then all he needs to do is hammer them into place.
Will somebody grab me a cut nail, please, and a hammer?
Okay.
Hammers are one of the most important things ever in my life because hammers will keep going and be useful forever. I'm passionate about hammers. I lust after hammers.
Maybe I need to go back to the old ways.
I have a hammer collection. I got like 200 hammers.
That one is so nice.
I think people will think I'm crazy if they know that this man has 200 hammers. But never take away my hammers. Let me see another shingle. An old building like this is a piece of history, so I want to keep it alive. I think it's important. We're reusing the same nails that we pulled out of the building a few minutes ago.
The jobs I probably dislike the most are stuff like picking nails out of shingles. It seems kind of pointless because half of them are mostly rotten anyway. I'm just doing monkey work. I don't feel like I'm getting as much out of it.
Everything in the world doesn't work out the way we want it to.
Unfortunately.
The roof can be completely replaced in just 5 hours if the group works together.
I'm out of here.
But Justin feels the job is beneath him.
The short day is getting right near the end. And we have a limited amount of daylight, and I'm really hoping and I'm thinking, I'm starting to think we're getting it done, right?
Down a man, finishing before sunset will be difficult.
God bless all handmade stuff. All right, folks, that was the last one. We did it. Can y'all believe that? In one day.
forest people have struck.
We just have to do what we have to do. We just give it our best shot every time.
Coming up, Marty finds himself in a dangerous situation.
I hate it when it does this kind of thing.
A pack of wolves came through. See the rest of the pack milling around in the woods just close by.
When you realize you are going to die, then you ain't so brave anymore.
In the rugged mountains of North Carolina, mountain man Eustace Conway has been battling a series of early winter storms. Everything is harder in the mountains, and Eustace doesn't have time to waste thinking about yesterday. There's always more work to do.
Good morning, America. It's been about a month since I brushed my teeth. It's going to take me a minute to catch up here. Brushing the teeth in the great outdoors. But I've got a lot of work to do. I better quit.
Turtle Island Preserve is a place I call home. You know, it's a place that I've invested my life in. You know, it's my heart, it's my soul. I am Turtle Island. Turtle Island is me.
Eustace has always been able to survive living off his land. But he always struggles to pay the tax man.
Motion to claim exempt property.
Boy, this is crazy. Damn attorney is paying the sheriff to serve me. You know, take all my land.
Basically, I've just got a letter saying your life is over. Taking my land. This is justice? This is truth? This is reality? This is insanity. This is stupid.
Man, I can't talk right now. Just leave me the hell alone. I don't know what in the hell's going on. This is just insanity. This is crazy. Hell.
The claim against Eustace's property is essentially a lien against his land.
What pisses me off is crazy people focusing on foolish things like taking my land away that have no idea that the land is the most important and sacred thing to my life, period. People are suing me that, like, I never even met the people, and yet they're taking my land away? Bull.
What this land means to me is life. It's about existence. This is home. I'm ready to die to take care of this mountain.
But there's work to be done, and Mother Nature waits for no one. 2,500 miles northwest in Montana, Tom Orr is facing a winter storm that has delayed his search for food. So he heads to neighbor Tim's pond to see if the traps he set have managed to catch any of the beavers threatening the drinking water.
There's beavers upstream and there's beavers downstream, and they'll repopulate this thing. Every year I have to come here and re-trap the beavers.
Tom and I are checking his traps and just seeing, you know, if he's got any beaver.
This old hill here is always a little tricky.
Yeah, I've slid down this mud once up there. Well, he's out on the ice. You better be careful.
Yes, it is starting to freeze up, huh?
Yeah, I think it was 4 below yesterday. And this kind of froze up on me. Oh, Tim, they'll be happy we catch these beaver. I've got a trap in there, but under it's frozen. This is a bad time to be trying to trap. There is a danger with the icy water, the exposure to the cold. There's just a couple young beaver in here, and they just need to go.
Thank you, buddy.
Weather changes quickly during the early winter months in Montana. Snow giving way to sunshine in minutes.
So, like, once the ice starts coming on, then they don't move very much.
See anything?
No, ain't nothing on that.
Not having any luck because the water's frozen. They're not able to get in where they need to be into the traps.
It looks like we didn't get no beaver meat this morning. And hell, that's what opened up the whole West, was the beaver trapping.
The original mountain men blazed trails west during the peak of the fur trade and played a key role in America's migration towards the Pacific.
And it went on for about 60 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, where beaver was the big thing, and then all of a sudden silk hats came in and beaver was out. Hey!
Did you get him?
No.
My water source comes out of these ponds, and lately we have had, sediment and debris in our drinking water in the house. Beavers are responsible for Giardia, which is a waterborne parasite. Still frozen down there?
Yeah, it's still frozen. They can't even really get up underneath the ice good. You know, if it thaws out, it'll work, you know. We'll just have to wait on it and see what happens.
All right, I better run, guys.
All right, buddy.
Okay, good to see you, man. Yep, take it easy. Thanks for the help with the beaver, incidentally, Tom. See you guys.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Tom makes some adjustments to the traps, knowing Tim is relying on him. 2,500 miles north in Alaska, Marty's ready for his first day out on the line.
Next order of business is to gear up and go check some traps.
With 150 miles to cover, Marty needs to check 150 traps every day. It's a tremendous strain on his snowmobile.
But it's going to be a full day, and it's going to be a long day, and it's probably going to be dark before I get back. I'll just go cover as much ground as I can. It's going to be a good day. As long as I pull into this yard with that machine at some point. I always plan on breaking down and hope I don't.
You're driving the snow machine, sticks are stabbing you, animals are scratching you.
Brutal.
The first stop takes 20 minutes to reach, and the trap is empty.
Right, that's a lynx track right there. That's a good sign.
Resetting the traps is difficult because they're pressurized to 90 pounds of force per square inch. That's the same as a deadly squeeze from an anaconda. And the cold temperatures don't help either.
I just rebuild them all the time. You just put sticks up in kind of a V fashion. So I hang the bait on a piece of wire so critters can't haul it off. You know, if the wind blows, it'll dangle. Kind of a little movement, a little eye candy. All right, she's ready to go.
After 5 minutes, Marty reaches the second trap. It's empty too.
I don't get skunked very often. Usually I get something. This scent had a wolf in it. And he was actually here.
Well, you can see his tracks. I just missed him.
Alaskan wolves are extremely aggressive. Hunting in packs, they're known to attack animals more than 5 times their size.
Wolves have attacked people. It's something I worry about. It's going to be in my head most of the day. I wouldn't want to have a pack of wolves circling me. That would be nerve-wracking.
Marty's been surrounded by a pack of wolves while crossing a frozen lake before. He had to fire a shot with his rifle just to escape. This time, he's unarmed.
Crap!
And all he hears when he tries to start his snowmobile is grinding gears.
Oh,
there are some 11,000 wolves roaming the mountain ranges of Alaska. Weighing up to 145 pounds, they hunt in packs. Marty's seen and heard them all day long. And now his snowmobile is broken down while he was traveling without his rifle.
Oh, definitely something's not right with this machine. It's backfiring and not running right. I gotta figure out what's wrong with it.
With wolves active in the area, Marty must fix the machine quickly or risk having to hike 10 miles back to his cabin.
You know, it could be a short somewhere. If I break down, my focus is on, I need to fix this machine. You want to get out of there.
You know, it could be anything from the kill switch shorting out to Magneto screwing up. But I don't know.
You've got to consciously think worst case scenario all the time, because eventually worst case scenario is going to happen.
Knowing there's a pack of wolves right around you,
the consequences could be more severe.
Fixing the machine in such severe temperatures is difficult, because Marty's hands become painfully numb within seconds after he takes off his gloves.
I'm going to replace the plug.
I try to carry enough tools and parts or whatever to fix it.
Yeah, I carry a spare spark plugs in almost every jacket and pair of bibs I have. I mean, you know, it could break down shortly. But we'll see what happens. It isn't just the actual breakdown, it's that ripple effect that changes everything. With that machine broke down, I'm not checking the traps that I should be checking, and I'm getting behind on that.
While Marty struggles with his crippled machine, Tom Orr is checking his beaver traps.
I've been coming over here for quite a few days checking empty traps. The big thing is to keep the beaver out of the pond here because of the Giardia disease.
So well, the beaver's been coming up, crossing the dike here, kind of bulldoze through the snow. You know, they drag themselves in the snow when they walk, so it makes a trail. You know, rather than just footprints, it leaves a hollowness in the ground.
The tracks are encouraging.
See the other trap, it's still set.
But the traps are empty again.
God, I got all them skins at home that still need flashing and all the work that still needs done at home.
But it'd be good to get these suckers out and just be done with it. Ellie, we got some action down here. We got a beaver, I think. We got two beavers, Ellie.
Lots of times you come back and there's nothing in your traps, you know. So if you catch two, it's just an added little bonus.
You never knew what hit him.
Catching the beavers will keep Tim's drinking water clean. And Tom will be dining on stew this winter.
It's a tough life, isn't it? You can't be pooping in the drinking water. Let's show old Tim. Huh? Let's show Tim.
Nice. Geez, you can get them after all.
Well,
huh?
It takes me a little while usually, but
Tom was able to catch some beavers out of the pond for me, which is terrific. My water source comes out of these ponds, and so it was very necessary to remove those beavers.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you very much, Tom. Hey, I was also thinking one other thing. You want a duck hunt? Want a duck hunt sometime soon?
Well, on the Kootenai?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll put the drift boat in.
We'll go take a duck hunt, and maybe I can sort of return the favor in a manner of speaking. I've got a, you know, drift boat, and quite often we'll go down and put the drift boat on the big river and jump shoot ducks.
All right,
okay,
buddy.
I'll give you a shout.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Hey, later, buddy.
Thanks, Tom.
While Tom heads home with his catch, 2,500 miles south, Eustace is dealing with his own set of problems. The lien on his property means he needs cash fast.
All right. Well, everybody, come on over here. We're going to have a little group meeting on what we're getting ready to do. We're going to go down this area that has a bunch of trees falling on it. Find some that are good for firewood. We'll cut them, and we'll throw them off to the side.
The firewood is a way that we can go into the forest and get cash. It takes some work, but we can sell the firewood.
We have a limited amount of time, unlimited beauty, but limited time.
Just be really careful. Don't just be absent-minded.
Any questions before we head out? All right on. Well, let's keep on moving. Go ahead and start getting on it.
Eustace can sell his pre-cut wood for $180 a cord.
Hit
heads up.
There's actually like two pieces right there.
I feel good about what these guys are doing. They've learned to focus. It's all about focus, determination, understanding the expectations, and going and getting it. What do you think about that, Justin?
What?
I'm just doing all the working, and I'm not getting anything out of it. I mean, it's irritating.
Some people just aren't as strong in certain areas.
Justin!
Huh? And it's not acceptable. My job as a leader is to make sure it all works out in a balanced way, and if somebody is, like, really slacking, then that's a whole nother thing. Sometimes you just have to cowboy up and work. We make good use of daylight. Daylight is one of the most essential and valuable things out here. You learn to appreciate it a lot. When it gets dark, it's dark.
With the sun starting to set, Eustace must cut three more trees to fill the order his buyer placed yesterday.
Pretty fast-paced job. We got to get it done.
Even though I'm losing daylight, I can't stop. You know, I've got to get this done.
That's right. Come on.
Whatever means necessary, we'll do what it has to take. I've got to get this thing going because we got a firewood delivery tonight. I promise the man, you got to be good to my word.
In Triplett, North Carolina, Eustace Conway got news this morning of a lien against his property. In need of quick cash, he's harvesting some dead trees to sell his firewood.
It takes some work, but we can sell the firewood. You can use the firewood paying the land bills, paying taxes.
When the final tree falls, it's a race to get it all stacked.
It's a pretty good quitting time. You guys have done good.
I'm not living in a dollar world. It's just about life and sacredness of my land.
You just got to do what you got to do. Overcoming challenges is part of life.
Another satisfied customer.
Thank you much. Yes, sir. We appreciate you.
With his work done for the day, Eustace heads into the woods to investigate the sounds of far-off chainsaws.
I realize that there's a huge tract of land being cut right now. You know, I cut down trees, but the way I go about it is more sustainable. We have a way of selectively cutting it, and they're not selectively cutting it. They're taking everything down, creating a desert out of a mountain hillside.
Seeing the clear cutting is tough.
It just makes me feel frustrated, mad. Wish I had some money that I could do something with it. I'd buy the land and let it start healing, take care of it, plant something on it.
It's also a painful reminder of how quickly things could change for him.
If someone takes this land, it'll be like backing a furious animal into the corner. They'll attack with a viciousness that they've never seen in a tame man. If people threaten to take this property away from me, I'll fight to the death.
2,500 miles away in Montana, the two beavers Tom trapped were a nice start to his winter food gathering. But he must continue to gather, or he risks a long couple of months.
Brr, nice and cool in there.
Couple mink snares down here that are all covered with snow.
Okay.
I just need to raise them up out of the snow a little bit.
What the hell is that?
Oh, wow.
Is that some new tracks?
This is grizzlies. That's what this is.
There are more bear tracks near the house.
Here's some fresh deer tracks on top of the bear.
Yeah.
This bear must have come through last night when we still got a little bit of snow, because look at, here's the deer track on top of the bear track.
Deer track stepping right in
them. Yeah. The rest of the bear tracks are out here in the ice. You can wait here, Will. I'll just go out.
Yeah, okay. Good luck.
Yeah. Here's a front foot track here, and here's a hind foot track right here.
Tom must skin the beavers so he can store the meat. It's not ideal with the tracks this close to the house.
Look at that. That's a big track there. Pretty spooky deal having these grizzlies like this so close. There's a good chance that bear will be back.
The bear's sense of smell is 2,100 times more powerful than a human's, meaning skinning the beaver will probably draw their attention.
I caught 2 beavers today out of 3 traps. That's pretty good average, really, if you could fill 2 out of 3 traps. Ooh. Everything in the woods loves beaver meat. The bears, they've got hellish noses on them. I mean, they can smell blood and stuff from very long distances. And we've got things to attract bears here. I mean, there's a bear hanging around here real close, you know, and we've got hides in the shop and blood in the snow. And who knows what's going to happen?
While Tom begins his storage preparations, 2,500 miles northwest in the northern Alaskan mountain range, Marty Maiorato hasn't been as successful.
No fur yet.
With the sun beginning to set, Marty's been shut out and is ready to head back to the cabin.
I can't believe it. I got skunked today. A lot of miles today and no fur.
With temperatures hovering at 40 below.
It's dangerous cold. You can't go out and make a mistake and expect to get out of it unscathed when it's that cold.
Marty is still 10 miles from home.
I'm running a line. I'm on my way back to main cabin. It's dark, and all of a sudden, the engine just sputtered and stopped.
Crap! I just quit. It sounded like electrical.
It would take 30 minutes by machine to reach the cabin. Not a good time to break down.
Never a good time for this to happen.
Most of the parts I carry are like mechanical stuff, but I don't carry that much for electrical stuff.
I always carry a spare plug with me.
I carry a spark plug, of course. That's the first thing you always check.
On foot. It will take Marty approximately 4 hours. He gives the engine one more try.
It's pretty cold and dark. I'm kind of screwed. This really sucks. I mean, the engine's fine.
I changed the spark plug. No spark.
It's not the plug. All the connections look good, so it's electrical. There's nothing I can do. It's dead. I'm just done.
With darkness closing in and the temperature continuing to drop, Marty makes the call to walk it.
But it could be worse. 10 miles ain't that bad. It's been below 50 below for the last few nights. I mean, you get so cold so fast that it's just flat dangerous. This is gonna suck. But that's the way it goes.
Next time on Mountain Men, Eustace and Justin clash again.
I don't really know if I trust Justin.
He made some serious mistakes. There's no room for irresponsibility.
I don't really have anything to prove to Eustace when I go hunting. Never had this problem before with a high-powered rifle. And I'm frustrated because I'm just doing all the working and I'm not getting anything out of it.